Thank the Lord for another worship service, another opportunity to consider some of His Word. His Word is very challenging to us. I was praying the other day and I thought about the times that we're living in, how dangerous they are. They're dangerous because we have an enemy, the devil. We have another enemy. It's the flesh. It causes us to become complacent, get careless. It'll cause us to get tired and weary. It'll cause us to maybe see things in a different way, ways that we probably shouldn't look at them. But we have enemies, and we're living in some dangerous times. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about following God's instructions. Following His instructions. How many of you in here have ever tried to open a bottle with a child that has a childproof cap on it? If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's almost adult proof, some of them, that I've had to wrestle with to try to get the cap off of it to get into what is inside of the bottle. Now, I figure in my way of thinking that there's probably three ways I could do that. I could probably take a hammer or a screwdriver and I could break the bottle and get in it that way. I could probably take a pair of pliers and pull the cap off of it. Or I could read the instructions and follow the instructions of how it says to get the cap off. And sometimes even after reading the instructions, it still doesn't work too good. Life's a lot like that. At least I find it to be so. I don't know how many of you, I know that men seem to have this onus upon us that when we're traveling and we don't know for sure where we're going to try to find it anyway without stopping and asking for directions. I've heard that a time or two. Maybe that's so, maybe it isn't, but if you don't know where you're going, it'd be a good idea to stop and ask for directions, wouldn't it? Now you and I are going somewhere. We're sitting there thinking in my seat, how important is it that we're here today? You know, there's just a handful of us, not very many. But I'll tell you what, when you come down to draw your last breath and leave this world, it'll be very important to you. What we're doing today is very important to us. It's very valuable. It's very necessary. I'd like to look at a scripture that's found in 2 Timothy. Pretty familiar scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, first of all, there's another scripture in Job that says there is a spirit in man. Each one of us has a spirit. God gave it to us. And it says the inspiration of the Almighty giveth us understanding. You know, it's possible that we can even read the instructions or get the directions and still not understand them. It's important to understand what we hear. It's important to understand the instructions. I believe Jesus said that we need to have ears to hear. Have ears to hear. Not just hear the sound, but hear and understand is what He's saying. What I have to say to you. So it says all Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The purpose of it all is that you and I will be thoroughly furnished, that we will have the understanding that we need to be faithful, to be able to trust the Lord, to inspire our faith, to receive power in our lives, to have the glory of God come down, as we've heard in our Sunday school lessons, and dwell within our hearts. It's important for these things to happen, that we may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I'm thinking about, and there's so many things that we can use for examples, but I'm thinking about following instructions, of course. And I thought about the orchestra. You ever been listened to an orchestra play? I've seen orchestras that have all the different instruments, different players. And I noticed that when the orchestra is playing the music, there's one person standing in front of them directing them. And I've watched them from time to time. You know, there may be the violins over here. They may be playing their little part of the music. But when it's time for the flutes and the trombones and the wind instruments to come in, I see them take their little wand and they point in that direction with it. It's time for them to come in. And if everyone doesn't pay attention to the director, the one that's trying to orchestrate the music, if everybody wants to do their own thing and play their part whenever they feel like playing a part, it's going to be terrible sounding. It isn't going to flow together. It isn't going to work together. If everybody says, well, I know what my part is and I know what to play, but I'm going to play it when I feel like playing it. Well, that's not going to work in music, and it's not going to work with you and I in living for the Lord. You see, we have someone called the Holy Spirit that orchestrates God's work and God's will in each and every one of our lives. Now, there's some folks that come to services, go to services on Sunday morning, and when they get there, there'll be a little plaque up there on the wall, and it'll have numbers on it, about 3 or 4 or 5 numbers. And those numbers are the order of the songs that they're going to sing in that service. I've seen them. Some of them will be different ones, will be designated who's going to pray and who's going to read the scriptures, who's going to do whatever in service. But I'm thankful this morning that you and I have someone called the Holy Spirit, that we can come to services and worship the Lord. Now, you have your personalities, I have mine, you have your quirks, and I have my quirks. All personalities have weaknesses, and they have strengths, every one of us. And we all are individuals, but when we come to worship the Lord, folks, we follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit. When He moves upon our hearts, when He says it's time to call the song, or He wants you to pray, you'll know it. And He'll orchestrate the service, won't He? The way the Holy Spirit wants to orchestrate it, and it will give you and I a blessing. Because the Holy Spirit's had His way. But I've been in those services where the numbers are up there, the songs we're going to sing, and who's going to pray, and who's going to read. And I want to tell you, there isn't anything more dead that I've ever been among than those kind of services. There's no life there. When I follow God's instructions, there's life in what I do. And not only is there life in me, but that life emanates from me and is a blessing to others, isn't it? And that's the way God has designed His church. He's given us the Holy Spirit to orchestrate you and I. He'll tell you when to speak. He'll tell me when to speak, and He'll tell me when to shut up. The Holy Spirit knows what is best. We're here to be edified. We're here because we want to learn and we want to understand. And we want the instruction of the Lord. And folks, only God knows how to orchestrate that. Only the Lord knows how to edify your heart. He can take one message and He can give a blessing to each and every one of those that are sitting there. And He'll give you your portion. Every part of the message may not be for you. It may be for someone else. But whatever's for you, the Holy Spirit will reveal that and He will let you know what is for you. And He will give you understanding. Isn't that beautiful? I thank the Lord for the instruction in righteousness. Now He says here that it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine tells us what to believe. Profitable for reproof. Reproof tells us what is wrong. It might tell me what I'm doing wrong, what I need to change, what I need to make an adjustment on. Then He said it's for correction. Correction tells me or teaches me or instructs me how to correct the wrong that I'm doing in my life. It teaches me how that I need to walk before the Lord. See, Scripture is given that you and I have spiritual life and spiritual understanding. To understand, to be more like Him. We have that song in our book, 151, More Like Christ. You don't know how. I don't know how to be more like Him until I learn of Him. Until I understand what His Word says. We have good Bible principles and instructions to help you and I through this life to be prepared for the time when the Lord calls us from this life. But we've got to follow the instructions. Then He says instructions in righteousness. In other words, the Word of God will teach us how to live, won't it? If we follow the instructions. I remember many years ago, being out in California, I had preached several messages, and one afternoon between services, someone came up to me and said, "Brother Abbott, we need you here in California." And I said, "No, you don't need me in California. You need to do what you know you're supposed to do." See, that's what it all comes down to. You've heard the preaching for years. You've read the Bible. You know what it teaches. You need to do what it says to do. People get in trouble today all because they are not willing to do what the Lord says for them to do. And they want someone to come along and remind them and tell them and say, "This is what God says to do," when God's already spoken in His Word what you and I are to do. We don't look to man to lead us and guide us. We look to the Holy Spirit. We look to the Word of God. We want to get our instructions from Him. Because He's the one that teaches us how to live. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a servant that God would use to minister the Word. But it's God's Word. And there's power in it. And there's grace in it. And there's help in it. If we'll accept it and receive it. I believe God has given us everything we need to do what He wants us to do. But people is the problem. It's really a people problem. He said, thoroughly equipped. The Lord wants you and I to be thoroughly equipped for life and our ministry to God. He's given us what we need to be equipped to live a life, a holy life, a godly life, a victorious life, a successful life, and have a ministry for Him that will lift Him up and glorify His name. That's what God has given us. He's equipped us with these things. But it comes down to my humanity. How we purpose to receive it is all the difference in the world. I've heard people say, well, I heard what the preacher said, but I don't see it that way, and I'm not going to do it that way. How we receive it is all the difference in the world. What kind of a mental attitude that you and I have? Some fight the instructions that the Word of God gives. Some folks are hungry and their hearts are open and they come and they want to receive everything that God has for their hearts and for their lives. So it's all up to the individual then, isn't it? Of whether we're able to get a hold of it, whether we're able to receive it. Folks, if you'll have your heart open and if you come hungry, God's going to bless you. He's going to feed you. He's going to minister to you. He's going to give reproof. He's going to give correction. And He's going to give instruction in righteousness. But I want to say that when you follow that path, that it will bless your soul and it will thoroughly furnish you for whatever it is before you and whatever it is you have to face in life. Following directions is not always easy. Remember, give you a Bible example here. Remember when the Lord told Joshua and the children of Israel how to fight against Jericho? That was a strange battle, wasn't it? He told them to go out there, and I didn't go back and read this, but the Lord brought it to my mind. He told them to go out there and walk around Jericho first day and be quiet. Some people have a hard time being quiet. You know, sometimes God wants to get something to us and we're just not quiet enough. He said, don't do anything, just walk around it. Second day, do the same thing. You walk around Jericho and you're quiet. You don't do anything. Can you imagine the people looking over the walls there and looking down on them in Jericho? What's the matter with these people? They're just walking around the city and they ain't doing anything. None of them talking. They're all quiet. What's going on here? I believe it caused confusion inside of Jericho. I do. Well, anyway, they did that for 6 days, didn't they? They just walked around Jericho. That was the instructions. Folks, if they would have chosen any one of those days to start fighting or shooting what arrows or whatever they did up there, however how they fought their battles, if they were throwing their spears or whatever, it would not have worked and they would not have taken Jericho. God has a way about Him that is higher than ours, and He has an understanding about Him that you and I don't have. We get questions in our minds and we say, God, why this and God, why that? God has a purpose and He has a reason to do. He wants to see if we're willing to follow directions. If we're willing to humble ourselves and submit to what His will is and to what His purpose is in our life. See, it takes humility to follow directions. It takes meekness to obey, doesn't it? One writer said, it's better to obey than sacrifice. You know, people will try it every way they know how to try it, but the way God tells them to do it. Yeah, they do that. Every way that I can, I'm going to work this out some way, somehow. I'm going to work this out, but God says do it this way. And the seventh day, when He told them to walk around the city, He told them to carry the pitchers, didn't He? And the trumpet. I think there was trumpets involved in that. But anyway, that seventh day they walked all the way around it quietly. And after they got all the way around it, they break the pitchers and they blew the trumpets. And what happened? The walls fell down, didn't they? Because they followed the instruction that God had given them. It wouldn't have happened any other way. Poor old love. Who was it? The man that had the leprosy. Naaman? Is that his name? He has leprosy. And the prophet didn't even go and see him. He thought he was somebody special. And the prophet should at least come and give him the instructions. But the prophet's servant came and says, you need to go dip in Jordan 7 times. Well, what's the matter with this water over here? Jordan dirty. That's dirty water. I don't want to go. I'm too proud. I'm too good to go. But the prophet said, go dip in Jordan 7 times. Finally, a little girl came along and said, you really ought to do what the prophet said. You really ought to do what he said. He is a man of God. And you really ought to do it. So he finally humbled himself, and he went and he dipped in Jordan once and still had his leprosy. He dipped in there 6 times and he still had the leprosy. You think maybe his faith was running out? You think maybe he was getting a little aggravated? You think maybe a little human understanding was coming in there? A little human reasoning? Well, this is foolish. I must look awful foolish to these people. I've already dipped in this thing 5 or 6 times and I still have my leprosy. But he said 7 times. What happened when he dipped the 7th time? The leprosy went away. Lord, help you and I. We have a tendency. Oh, it's a human tendency to question God. We all have a human tendency to doubt God. He has a reason. He has a purpose. What's going on in your life right now? Maybe you can't fully explain it. Maybe you don't fully understand it. But I want to tell you, God's looking down. And He cares about every little detail of our life. I believe that. Every little detail He cares about in our life. And when God says, that's what we need to do. And you know what? I'm fully convinced that everyone I'm talking to here this morning knows what God says. He knows what God has said to do. We just need to obey, don't we? We try to fix things ourselves. Have you ever tried to fix something? And when you did, you have parts left over? You ever try to buy something and try to put it together? And you, I'm guilty. I've been a mechanic for 30 years of my life, and I pretty much now understand mechanical things. And when I bought things for the children, you know, and I go to put them together, my wife said, "Do you read the directions?" I said, "I don't need the directions. I know how to put this simple little thing together," and sometimes I've had to cower down and go back and read the directions. And you know, you can break something if you don't do it just the way it tells you to do it. You can break something if you just don't do it right. Folks, when it comes to my soul, it's much more important for me to do it right. It's much more important for me to hear the Spirit of God upon my heart speaking to me and giving me guidance and direction. When it comes to my soul, folks, it's much more important that I do it the way God says for me to do it. I'll tell you a little story. This happened 40 years ago. Probably 44 years ago. But I never forgot it because I learned a lesson. You know, when you learn lessons the hard way, you don't forget them. If somebody else works it out for you, you kind of pass it off and go on. But when you learn it the hard way, you don't forget them generally. My car, my wife and I had been married a little over a year. We lived in a apartment complex. I didn't even have a driveway or a garage or anything. But my car needed rear brakes put on it. And those were the drum brakes. And so I got out there and I jacked up the one side and took the tire off. And I wasn't at the time, but I worked in a place that made these brakes. So I took everything off and I come to this, to the little parts that's got the springs and holds this, and it holds this little plate here and it holds that. So I was looking it over real careful and I was removing this spring real easy. And whenever that spring came off, everything fell off that wheel. And I didn't know where any of it went. And I was in a quandary. And I went in the house and I told her, I says, I've done it now. We were supposed to be somewhere that evening. Supposed to go somewhere. I think it was in Cincinnati or Columbus. I said, we won't be going anywhere. Because I said, I got parts flowing around all over the place. You take that one little spring off, that one little keeper off, and that thing just flies all over the place. So finally, I wasn't saved at the time. I finally called my brother-in-law, Brother John Gutwein. Some of you knew him. And I guess he was busy or something. And he says, Larry, jack up the other side and go over there and look at the side that's still together, and you can see where every part goes when you go to put it back together. Wow, what a novel idea. I took the other tire wheel off, and I looked at the brake system over there, and I went around back and forth a few times, and I put the new shoes on the one that I had taken off, and when I went to put the stuff back together, I had to go to the other side and look and see where it went. But you know, it worked. It worked. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a pattern to go by? Aren't you glad this morning that we have someone that walked this way before us? Someone that's been steady. Someone that's been faithful. Someone that has done it right. He is well worthy to give you and I the instructions of how to live a holy life, isn't he? I'm glad we have a pattern. Better than that wheel over there, but I sure did appreciate the instruction that my brother-in-law gave me. Do you know we were still able to go to where we needed to go that evening? I mean, when that first happened and them parts, springs flying here and there, and I didn't know where, I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. But I had a pattern. I just had to remember. He reminded me, you got a pattern on the other side. Don't take it apart until you get that the one you got torn apart put back together. And it worked. Folks, it'll work every time when we follow the pattern. When we follow His instructions, it'll work every time. I'm so grateful this morning. God loves us, and He knows that we're dust. He knows how pitiful that we are. He knows how we have to fight against this flesh. He knows those things that are weakness to us. He knows those things that we struggle with. He knows those things, folks. So we go to the throne of grace that we can get mercy and grace to help us. We know what to do. Go to it. Follow the instructions. Go to the throne of grace. You know, the devil, Peter says the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But he said, you draw nigh to God. You draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you, and then you resist Him. Follow the instructions. Folks, we need God's grace. We need His mercy. We need His love. We need His aid. We need His aid. We need His help. When it comes to dealing with the enemy, He said, draw nigh to God. Do that first. Go have a word of prayer. Get close to the Lord. And He will draw nigh to you. Then resist the devil. You try to resist the devil without drawing close to the Lord, you're not going to be very successful. The recipe is, the instruction is draw nigh to God first. Lord, help us. Just follow the simple instructions. They're not rocket science. They're not something difficult. They're not something that you don't understand. You can come along and say, well, I just didn't understand. Yeah. Now, let's be honest with the Lord. We understood. We just decided to take up on our own and do it our own way without doing it the way God said to do it. God has a reason and a purpose for us doing it the way that He wants us to do it. I'd like to look at a scripture. He gave the children of Israel direction, instruction over here in Deuteronomy, 4th chapter. Believe it or not, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 4, 1. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel." He's talking to children of Israel. "Under the statutes and under the judgments. Hearken to my instructions, to the directions that I've given you, which I teach you for to do them." See, just do them. Just do them. We get so independent sometimes, we want to do it our way. And folks, what happens when you do it your way? You struggle, don't you? Life, I'm finding that life is a big struggle for a lot of people today. People are struggling. We see our children out in the world trying to make things happen, and they want this and they want that, and they're struggling because they haven't drawn nigh to God first. Because they're not willing to accept God in their life. Folks, God makes all the difference in what you and I have to deal with. We're going to have them. We're going to have our difficulties. Everything's not going to go smooth and go our way. But folks, there's such a big difference when we have God in our life. When we have God on board. And I see my children and other people's children struggling. They want this and they want that. And they want that to work and this to work. And it all falls apart. And I pray for them and I say, "Lord, help them to see they need you, put you first." What did he say? What's the instructions? Seek ye first. Seek ye first. That's the instructions, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things, I'll take care of them. I see the sparrow fall. I see, I got the hairs of your head numbered. I know it's not up to you how tall or short you're going to be. I got all that taken care of. He knows how to take care of everything else too, folks. He promised He would. All these things, I'll take care of them. But seek ye first. You know, that's the problem with people today. Let me tell you something. You listen to this real closely. There's a lot of people professing Christianity today. Christianity. They are embracing what they think is Christianity's doctrines. But there's no life in their souls. They are not endeavoring to live what Christianity teaches. Understand that? Many professing it. Many claiming to embrace the doctrines. But their life does not measure up. They're not living to the instructions of what the Word of God teaches. And they don't want to. They don't want to. Why? Because there's too much to give up. There's too much to deny of self. They want their own way. They want to eat their own bread. They want to wear their own clothes. They want to do their own thing. Folks, you can't live for the Lord and do your own thing. You got to put Him first in your life. Put Him first in your heart. You say, "Well, you know, you say those things, Larry. But you know there's a lot more to life than that." But you know what life comes down to for me? It comes down to that day. And there'll be a day that I draw my last breath. That's what life comes down to. Oh, I enjoy life. Last night I said to my wife, Lane, I said, "You want to go up to UDF and get a hot fudge sundae?" Now that's my excitement for the weekend. "Want to go to get a hot fudge sundae?" She said, and I expect her to say no. She said, "Well, our grandson is going to turn 16 Tuesday. We'll go up and celebrate his birthday." So we went up and had a hot fudge sundae. Do we do that every day? No, we don't do that very often. But I knew she liked hot fudge sundaes, and I said, if you'll have one, I'll have one. You don't have to twist my arm. I still enjoy life. The Lord wants you and I to enjoy life. But folks, I've already proved the Lord. I can enjoy life and follow His instructions. I can enjoy life living for Him. I've had more joy and more fun in my life living for the Lord than I ever did out in sin. I used to do the drinking and all carrying on and all that other stuff, playing music and all those other things. Folks, I've had much more fun just being with the saints of God and rejoicing in all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. To be able to see the church, to have 20/20 vision and see the church of God. That's good vision, folks. That's 20/20. When you can see the church. In all of its beauty, in all of its glory, in all of its holiness. And that all comes from what? It comes from following directions. The Lord wants us to be thoroughly furnished. He wants us to be complete in Him. The only way that we can do that is following directions. I got off my scripture here. The statutes, the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that you might live. See, He's interested in us living. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you. How many of us are possessors of that land today? We possessed it. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we kept His commandments and His statutes and His judgments. You shall not add to them the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish. Why did He have to say that? Because that's what people do. He had to say that because that's what people do. Well, Lord, let me just change this just a little bit. Because this here, if I could change it just a little bit, it'll satisfy me a little better. Folks, it's about pleasing the Lord. That's what it's really about. And if you please the Lord, He'll satisfy your soul. He'll satisfy your soul if you please the Lord. Don't add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Remember Jesus' prayer? All that you've given me, I have kept in your name. I haven't lost a one of them, save the son of perdition. Haven't lost a one. God's interested in keeping us. He's interested in you and I living, not just here. This is temporary. Everything that we have around us and that we deal with in this world, it's temporary. God's talking about you and I living forever in His presence, in His glory. Oh, I want that. I want that really bad, folks. And in order to get it, I'm going to have to follow the directions. The directions don't change for you or me. Well, He'll give you one set of directions and give me a different. No. No, we've all got to walk the straight and narrow way, don't we? We've all got to give up the things of the world. He told us for us to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Him. Well, just you. Or is it just the ministers have to do it? No, we all have to do it. So the instructions don't change for individuals. But we all fall under the instructions of the Word of God, don't we? It's been given to you and I. Behold, I taught you the statutes and the judgments. Verse 5. Even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land, whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore, do them. He just keeps stressing it here. I've taught you these things. Keep them. Do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Folks, people are looking on our lives. People think that we live, that we're weird because of the way we dress and the way that we do some things maybe. But they are looking upon us. And God said, do them, for it's your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and an understanding people because they kept the statutes and the judgments. This is a wise and an understanding people. See, God will do that. He'll do that for you and I. He'll glorify His name in your life if you'll be faithful to follow the instructions that He's given you to live a holy life. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll promote you in His kingdom if you just follow the instructions. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? His instructions makes the nation righteous. Only take heed to yourself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. If I could sum it up in one little phrase, I'd say, you know what the problem with our country is and the world is today? It's because His statutes and His judgments has not been taught to the last two or three generations the way that it ought to be. Because folks, if people were following His statutes and His judgments and His instructions, this world wouldn't be in the shape it's in today. It would not be in the shape that it's in today. But He says that we would teach our sons and our sons' sons. So that means that some of us here have a responsibility to teach our grandchildren. We have a responsibility to tell them about a Savior that came into the world and gave His life for them. And that they need to be saved someday. Now when you tell those lies, that's wrong. When you take those cookies out of the cookie jar, that's wrong. And God sees it. They need to understand those things. Teach them the statutes and the judgments. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Maybe that's, Lord, help us to teach our children. You know, adult children, they don't seem to want to hear it much anymore. That turns you off in a heartbeat sometimes. But folks, that doesn't stop me from telling them. Because this is the thing that could save their souls. This is the thing that could make a difference in their eternal existence where they're going to live and dwell in eternity. It always helps when we understand the problems that we're working on. Now, I'm working on this fellow. I'm not working on you. I'm working on me. And the Lord is faithful to show me what I need to work on. Isn't that wonderful? And He teaches me what I need to work on. And He shows me what I need to do to change it. See, it's given for reproof and for correction. And the Lord, first of all, we need to identify the problem, not just shrug it off and say, no, that's the way I am and that's the way I'm going to be. Because when we do that, we're not following in the directions and we're not going to get the help. We're just not going to get the help that we need in our souls. Do you know, I found, maybe you have too, that God can get pretty specific when He's identifying a problem. Because God is not superficial, folks. He doesn't deal with the surface things. He goes right down to the root. He goes right down where it hurts. That's called the cross. See, when we look at ourselves in the mirror of the gospel and we see things that, oh my, I don't want to look at that, because God goes to the root of my problem, whatever it might be, whether it's pride or whatever it might be. God goes to the root, says, here's your problem. This is what you need to deal with. But I've also found that trouble comes pretty quickly when I begin to apply my human reasoning to my problems. Now I want to tell you another story, and I hope this will benefit. It's very interesting, but I hope it will benefit you spiritually. Several years ago, my brother and I went down to Kentucky to, I think it was our Uncle Sam's funeral. He was a minister of this gospel for years. And he had passed, and the funeral was going on in Somerset, Kentucky. I had a couple vehicles. He had a couple vehicles. He decided that we'd go down in his little Chevy Chevette. You all remember the Chevette? A small car, but there was only two of us going. We were younger then, a little bumpy, but it got us there. So we drove down to Somerset, Kentucky, and got to the funeral home, pulled in the parking lot, and this big funeral director, he comes out and he leans into the car and he says, are you going to the graveside? Brother says, yeah. This is our uncle. We're going to go to the graveside. Okay, he said, just leave the keys in the car and I'll put it in the procession where it goes, where it needs to be. Left the keys in the car, went on into the funeral. When the funeral was over, we come back, got in the car. And Charles started it up and he reached over to get it was a 4-speed. It had a stick there on the floor, long stick. And on the knob, it gave the directions of first, second, where your gears were. That knob and that stick was just flopped way over to one side. Charles looked at that and he said, uh-oh. He said, we got a problem. About the time that we discovered that, this big old fella sticks his head in and he said, sir, he says, I'm sorry. But he said, I think I broke your rod into the transmission. He says, it won't go in anything but second gear. Now, this little 4-cylinder thing, second gear, you don't go very fast. It was out in the country. And he says, how do you put this thing in reverse? I was trying to get it in reverse, and it showed me in reverse, but it wouldn't go. And he said, I put too much pressure and broke it. And he said, don't worry about a thing. He said, we will pay for it. We will get it fixed. We had to stay there 2 or 3 days. He paid for the motel, even bought us toothbrushes and food and everything we needed. It cost him a lot of money. But in the meantime, we're in second gear and we can't back up, but go in second gear. And we're in the funeral procession. So we start out on the highway, following the hearse, and heading to the cemetery, and Charles can only go maybe 30 miles an hour, pushing it, winding it up pretty tight. So we decided we can't keep up with them. So we saw a shop on the left-hand side of the road, a car shop, auto shop. So he pulls in there, told him what the problem was. You need to understand what you're working on. This is my point. He told him what the problem was. They put it up on the rack. They checked everything out. They knew, they saw what they needed to do. But they stood around and they were talking and they were scratching their head and they were talking back and forth. And my brother and I was watching them. And finally one of them come out and said, "Sir," says, we know what the problem is. It's broken off down into the transmission. But he says, we can't fix it here. And he says, there's not a Volkswagen place around here for 30 miles. Closest one I know of is over here in such and such a town. My brother and I looked at one another and said, this isn't a Volkswagen, sir. This is a Chevy. Oh! Well, he says, we still can't fix it. He said it'd be days before we could get the part in to fix it. They thought they were working on a Volkswagen. When Charles heard that, he said to me, he says, we need to get out of here. So we got back in the car and drove it back into Somerset, Kentucky, and took it to a dealership, a Chevy dealership, okay? Drove it in there and told the funeral director. He called and wanted to know what's going on. We told him. They got it. He said, don't worry about a thing. It's all covered. So they had it for 2 days, I think, maybe the third day. They called us and said, it's ready. So we went over there to the dealership. And it's sitting in one of the stalls back there where they worked on it. And so the fellow says, your car's ready. And said, funeral director's taking care of everything. You don't owe us nothing. So my brother says, all right. Well, we were waiting for him to bring the car out to us. He says, it's back there in the stall. He says, you can go ahead and get it. Well, this was unusual. So we go and get in the car. And as he's backing out of the stall, everything's fine with the car. One of the mechanics stuck his head in the window and said, how did you do that? He said, how did I do what? How'd you get it in reverse? He said, we've been pushing this thing around from stall to stall inside here because we couldn't find reverse. You know, all you had to do was push down and push it back into reverse. And nobody, not even a dealership. My brother says, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of this place. It was a big Chevy dealer, and they didn't know how to put it in reverse. The Lord wants us to know what we're working on and how to fix what we're working on. And we really are ignorant unless we follow His example, unless we follow His word. We're really ignorant. Sometimes we can think we've got the problem solved and it'll come right back and haunt us again. The Lord wants to eradicate. He wants to deal with us in such a way, folks, that we can be thoroughly furnished and thoroughly established and have power with God and overcome. Self is one of our biggest enemies, folks. It's self. We like to think it's everybody else, but it's really me. That's my biggest trial and my biggest trouble. I probably will never forget my brother's little Chevette. Those folks down there, they were very nice people, but they sure didn't know anything about a Chevy Chevette. I'd like to look at another scripture. It's found in Luke. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus. Luke 24. And I want to begin reading at the 4th verse. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. This is Resurrection Sunday here. This is when they all came to the tomb to see Jesus in the tomb, and He wasn't there. Verse 2 says, they found the stone rolled away. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And what does it say? They remembered His words. Folks, remember His words. Jesus spoke a lot of things to him. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and none of it is a filler. Every bit of it is important. Every bit of it is instruction to you and I in how to live a proper and a holy life, in how to please God. Folks, when I please God, I believe for the most part I'll please men. There's some people you can't please them no matter what you do. But the important thing is, Peter said, it's better to obey God than man. It says they remembered His words. Lord, help us. If only we would remember His words daily when we get into our struggles, when we get into our battle, when the storms of life are raging all around us. Remember His words. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Just remember, He's going to be there. Another scripture says, I will be a very present help in every time of trouble. Is there any part of that we don't understand? No, we understand. The Lord God said, I will be a very present help. But we look at the circumstances and we fret and we wring our hands and we wonder and we fear and we doubt and we don't know what to do. Remember His words. Remember what He said. Remember His instructions. If we keep His promises, I believe in the forefront of our minds, His promises, we'd probably behave a little bit differently. We'd probably behave a little differently. I could say act, but our actions is our behavior. And we could exemplify Him more. We could lift Him up more. If we just remember and keep His promises in the forefront, when things are not going the way we would like to see them go, if we could just keep His promises in the forefront of our mind. His promises of protection, of provision. He promised to provide for us, didn't He? David of old said, I once was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I've been to Monarch. I was thinking about that the other day. Something like the last 29 years, 28 or 29 years. And I've never heard the saint, anybody stand up and say, God, let me down. When I was in my darkest and deepest distress, folks, I'm telling you, I called for prayer. The saints prayed and God let me down. I've never heard that. I've never heard it, and I won't hear it if we'll be truthful about God. He won't let us down. His promises of protection, His provision, and His companionship. Folks, those things are the staples of the very covenant that He has made with you and I. The very staple of our salvation. The thing that strengthens us, holds us up, makes us to know that we're not in this alone. That God's in there with us, just like He was the three Hebrew children. They took a stand, and God took a stand. And even in the midst of the fire, heated seven times hotter, didn't affect anything but the ropes, the things that had them bound. Didn't even have a smell on their clothes, folks. We need to keep that in our minds. We need to keep what God says. They remembered His words. Oh, yes. He did tell us that on the third day, I will rise again. He did say that, didn't He, Philip? He did say that, didn't He, Peter? He did say that, didn't He, John? Oh, yes. The third day. You think he was just talking? He was giving instruction. He was giving them hope. This is not defeat, disciples. You're gonna see me. They're gonna take my life. I'm gonna hang on. And old Peter, he said, "Oh Lord, this is not gonna happen to you." And he said, "Get behind me, because you're looking at it from man's eyes. You don't understand the things that be of God." Lord, help us to have spiritual discernment, to understand the things that God has for you and I, to understand the things that God wants to do for you and I. Lord, help us to have that kind of understanding and discernment. You know, we humans focus on the vastness of our own problems and forget about the reality of our big God. Bigger than all of our problems. Bigger than all of our troubles. Bigger than all of our needs. Do you believe that today? Lord, help us to follow His instructions. The power that raised Christ on that day can raise you from your circumstances. I want you to believe that, saints. I want you to know. I won't leave you or forsake you. The power that brought Him out of that grave and raised Him up on that day can raise you and I from our circumstances in life. Let's just follow the directions. Follow His instructions. Who are we? You ever had someone say, "Who you think you are? You think you're someone special?" Yes, I'm a child of God. We're children of the King, folks. Children of the Most High God. You and I are progressively desiring to recognize and understand God by observation and by the experiences that we go through in this life. The more experiences we go through, the more we'll understand God. We want to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him. And if we do, we must pay attention to what He says. Pay attention. Have your hearts open. Accept the wisdom and the love that He has for you and I today. We're not going to make it alone. We're not going to make it without Him. So it's best if we don't fight and kick against the prick. But it's best if we just submit. Say, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? What do You want me to do, Lord? I can't do it. And I sure can't do it without You. Lord," Paul said, "what will You have me to do?" Folks, to me, that was the secret of Paul's success and his walk with the Lord in his ministry. In all the beatings and the stripes and the perils that he was in, he said, "Lord, what do You want me? Just what do You? I'm resigned. Just tell me what You want me to do. Just give me the direction, the instructions of what You want me to do." May the Lord help us this morning. It's afternoon now. May the Lord help us to follow. Just follow His instruction. You know what the Bible says, how it says to live. You know what God says for you and I to do. He told us to trust Him, didn't He? He told us to do that. Let's trust Him. His old sister in our congregation when I was a little boy, he said, "Let's put our little hand in His big hand. He's got a big hand. and let Him take care of us. You know what I believe He'll do? I believe He'll help every one of us make heaven our home if we'll do that. I believe He'll do that for us. You pray for me because I want to be an example of what I just preached this morning. May the Lord help me to follow His direction and His instruction for my life. He said for us to take up our cross. Your cross isn't my cross. What you have to face, I may not have to face. And what I have to face, you may not have to face. There's a brother down there in West Virginia, folks, he's right on the verge of going on to his eternal reward. We don't know when that day may come for us. Life can change in an instant, can it? It can change in an instant. May God help us, each and every one, just to be faithful at our post of duty. Amen.